reading from Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all.
Pray as we stand together. Lord, you are good, and you've got a goal for us, and you've got designs for us. And I pray, Lord, that as we look to your word this morning, that you'd be speaking to us, and that you'd be drawing us closer to yourself. Encourage us, Lord, and correct us right where we need it, we pray. Amen. So I had a mate who moved to another town for uni a number of years ago. So he moved away to another town to do uni, but he came back for Christmas. So he made the journey back, and he got back to his family house Christmas morning. And it's Christmas morning, and he pulls into the driveway, he opens the door and walks in, but there was a problem. He forgot it that during the year, the family had sold the house and moved over to the next street. And so my friend found himself in the lounge room with his family, children, opening presents, and they all just looked at him. And apparently my mate just looked at them, and there was nothing he could do except just say, "I used to live here." And he turned around and walked out. That's it. And you know, just like that friend of mine, we can find ourselves visiting places that we don't belong to anymore. We can find ourselves right where we don't belong. And what we've got before us in this passage is this great reminder that the Christian is somebody who has been brought to new life in Jesus. You know, the sinful self-rule, like we don't belong there anymore. When we sin, like we don't live in that place anymore. And the challenge is for us just to say, "You know what, I used to live here," and turn around and walk away. So let's have a look together. So Paul is writing to the Colossian church there, and he starts this chapter 3, we get to see once again this great theme that Paul has of, you used to be this way, but now you are this way, and now live in response to what Jesus has done. And he says there, when we hear verses 1 to 4, he says, you've got this new life with Jesus. He says, since then, you've been raised with Christ. And so the Christian is somebody who's been raised with Christ. You have a new life in him. Just how Jesus died on the cross and he rose again from death. The Christian is someone who, through faith, is so united to Jesus that you now have this new life. The old self has passed away. You've got this new life with Jesus. And then, so he says, because of that, since you've got this new life, like, set your mind, set your heart, and set your mind. Set it, not on earthly things, but on things above, where Christ is. Like, you have this new focus, this new direction for your life. Give yourself not to earthly things, but to the heavenly. Like, fill your mind with the truth of who Jesus is. Fill your heart and your mind with the things above. You need to be heavenly minded. And then he says, because you died. He said, I'm writing to you, but you've died. What's he talking about? He's saying that old self, sinful self-rule that died with Jesus. And Jesus died and went to the cross for those who have trusted in his name. Like, your sinful self-rule, it is gone. Your sins went to the cross with Jesus. You're united to Jesus in his death and in his resurrection. And so because of that, set your mind on things above. Live in this new life that you have been given. And your life, Christ is your life, and he says your life it's hidden with him. That's your new life with Jesus. It's safe and it's secure and it's with Jesus. And you've got this new perspective where you can look forward to the coming of Christ again. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you also will appear with him in glory. That's how united you are. You're united to Jesus in his death and in his rising and in his future glory. That's where you live now. You belong to him. You belong to him. So he says, you've got, remember this new life. And then he moves on to this great big challenge, and it's using violent language. He says, so because of that, because of this new life that you've got in Jesus, like, put to death these sins and get rid of these sins. And he lays out two lists of sins, five in each. And you can kind of roughly categorize these sins in the Colossian church with sins of sinful desires on one hand, and then sins that might disrupt the unity that's in the church. So he says, you've got to put to death the sinful desires. You've got to put to death the sexual immorality, the impurity, the lust, the evil desires that you've got going on in your hearts, the greed that's within you, which is idolatry. You speak into like these heart motives, these desires of the heart. And he said, it's like, because you've got this new life in Jesus, you've got to put those to death. You've got to put those to death. And you used to walk in those ways. You used to walk in those ways. That's who you used to be. But now you've got this new life, so put them to death. You used to walk in those ways. You know, the Roman culture was one of great excess. I read this week that for sexual relations, it was like between man and wife for baby making, for children. And then anything else outside the home, that's just whatever. Anything goes. And what was championed was excess, more and more for yourself, the greed. And that's what's celebrated. And what we've got here is a call for the Colossian church, and by extension us, to be those who keep our desires in check, who exercise self-control. Because surely we can relate to that. You know, a call to faithfulness, fidelity, purity, when the culture around calls us to something else. And Paul is saying, you used to walk in those ways, but not any longer. Remember, you don't live there anymore. And then he says, he identifies sins that would disrupt unity in the church. Remember that he's just addressed how there's false teaching happening in the church, and false teaching can surely cause division, factions within the church. It's like, watch your mouths. Watch your heart and watch your mouths, the way that you speak to one another. You know, put away anger, malice. Put away the slander and filthy language from your lips. The concern is unity within the church. Don't lie to one another. Like, how do you use your mouth? And so check your motives, your desires in your heart, and check the way that you live alongside one another, because you are being made a new people. He gives these two beautiful reasons to put to death these sins, to rid themselves of these sins. And the first one is that he says that the wrath of God is coming because of sins like this. You know, if they've trusted in Christ, they don't stand condemned any longer. But it's this reminder that, you know what? Judgment from the Lord is coming one day. You don't want to be bound with these sins in your life. This is the reason why Jesus is coming in judgment. Like, let's rid ourselves of these things, because it's not who we are any longer. And he says, and rid yourselves and kill this sin, because you've taken off the old self and you've put on the new. From trusting in Jesus, the moment that you've trusted in Jesus, given your life to Christ, the old self has been taken off like old clothes, and you've been given a new self, new clothes. And so because of that, now live in response for him, in response to him, faithfully and joyfully. You know, I've had the wonderful pleasure, so fun, of trying to toilet train our toddler over the last couple of weeks. I'll tell you what we don't do, right? So he makes a mess. I'm sure many of you know what we're talking about. It's frustrating. Heaps of cleaning and laundry being done. We take off the old clothes, right? Step one. We also clean him up, because I'm a good dad. What we don't do is then go, all right, let's put the soiled clothes back on. We don't do that. That's crazy, right? We go, here's fresh new clothes. And what we've got here is we've got this picture of the absurdity of being somebody who's trusted in Christ. Your old self has been taken off and you've been cleaned up by Jesus. He's forgiven your sins. And to continue in sin, it's like putting on your soiled old clothes again. The dirty clothes. And it doesn't make sense. And so it's this call, like, no, that has been thrown out. You have been made clean. And so live in response faithfully. Put to death the sins. Put away the sins, because that's not who you are anymore. And then, and the good news is that Jesus is making us new by his Spirit. He says, you're being renewed in the knowledge of the image of God. Being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its Creator. You know, as we trust in Jesus and his Holy Spirit is at work in us, you know what? The good news is that we don't do this in our own strength or willpower or whatever. But his Spirit is at work in us, renewing us. As we hand over our lives to him, he's making us new. That we would be God knowers, that we'd be renewed in our knowledge of our Creator. And we'd know God more. And we'd know how to live for him more. And he helps us with our obedience. Like daily, we're being made new. We're being renewed. You know, the scriptures talked about being renewed in our minds and also taking captive our thoughts and submitting them to Jesus. He's making us new. And not just as individuals, but he's making us a new people. So verses 10 to 11, he says, in this place, there's no Gentile or Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Like all of those human distinctions and categories that we place one another in, that's totally of secondary or tertiary importance. I'll tell you what really matters. What matters is Jesus. He's all that matters. And he's making this new people for himself. It's not based off these human distinctions of ethnicity or our religious deeds, our geography or our heritage or our social status, how much money we have. What's this new people based on? It's faith in Christ and in him alone. He's all that matters. And he's building this new self as us as the body. We get to be part of Jesus' body together. He's making us new. We're a new creation in Christ. And so the call is to live for him because of what he's doing and what he has done. And so we get to ask ourselves, well, how do we now live? Like, so what? Like, how do we live this out? And thankfully for the preacher, this is a in some ways, a very straightforward passage, isn't it? Like, do this, put away this, kill this, don't do that. But here's a couple of ways that we can live out what we've got before us this morning. How do we live this out? Well, what really stands out is the setting our mind on things above. You know, to orient ourselves towards the things above, the love of our heart, the focus of our life, not just on the here and now and the temporary. But let's set ourselves on the things above. And we can do that in a few ways. But perhaps regular time in word and prayer is, maybe that's the best way for us to set our mind on things above. To be in the word and prayer. Like to, you know, what are we filling our minds with? But to have regular time where we hear from God through his word. His truth comes into our life to like set our mind on things above, to hear him speak, and to commune with God in prayer, to speak to him, to grow in our intimacy and our knowledge of him. If I were to be more like this, like surely my mind would be more set on the things above than on the here and now. And another way that we can set our mind on things above is perhaps to remember your baptism. Where do I get that from? Well, are you reminded of baptism in these pictures, especially in verses 1 to 4, of being united to Jesus in both death and resurrection? Like, what a gift the picture of baptism is. You know, like as you go down into the water, it's like a picture of burial. Your old self has died and been buried with Jesus. And as you're brought up out of the water, it's like you've been raised to new life with Jesus in his resurrection and hope, and you've been cleaned of your sins. One way that we can set our mind on things above is to remember our baptism. Say, you know what? It was more than just a ceremony and maybe a happy day with family or friends or whoever was around. I made a commitment to follow the Lord Jesus with my life. And my old sin, like when I'm confronted by my sin, maybe one way that I can set my mind on things above is to say, you know what, my old self, I remember. I was baptized in that, like behind that curtain there. My old sinful self ruled, that died with Jesus. And I was raised again to new life. I remember, I made a commitment to follow him. Is that not a setting our mind on things above and not the earthly? And I've got to be intentional in concentrating. You know, like, how easy is it for us to, like, actually set our mind on, you know, booking a flight or your hotel for your holiday, or to set your mind, concentrate on a project at work or stuff that needs to be done around the house or your future? And you're giving yourself to it in your mind, like, not all of that's fine. But how easy is it for us to devote our thought life and our concentration to these earthly things? How much more should we be devoted in our concentration and our effort into setting our mind on the things above, the things that truly, truly matter? And please hear me right. Like, willpower alone won't accomplish this. But remember, he's given us his spirit. He's renewing our minds. We're being made new, refined in the image of God, that more and more we would be able to live this out. We live this out with his help. You know, the spirit in us is Jesus' life in us. He lives in us, helping us with our obedience. So we live this out. We can respond by setting our mind on things above. And secondly, we can live this out by, and this is a quote from John Owen, who lived a long time ago. Live this out. He said, "Be killing sin, or it will be killing you." Hold on, right? He wrote that in the 1600s. We respond to this passage by killing sin, by putting it to death. That's what Paul wrote. It is a violent language, isn't it? Do you remember Jesus saying once, if your right hand causes you to sin, chop it off. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. What's he saying? He's saying, be ruthless with your sin. Like, be ruthless with it. Don't put up with it. Be ruthless with your sin. Kill sin. How can we kill sin? Well, we recognize and confess our sin. Like, we recognize, we agree with God that we are in the wrong and he is right. We recognize our sin. We don't deny it or minimize it. We confess it. We bring it to God. We reject our sin. We say, "Lord, would you forgive me once again?" We bring it into the light. We confess our sin to God. We confess our sin to trusted brothers and sisters in Christ. As sin is brought out into the light, we agree with God and it's confessed. Like, sin loses its power. It's like the disinfectant of the sunlight. Kills it. We kill sin by recognizing and confessing. And we rely on Jesus' power. We rely on his power. And we remember, I don't live here anymore. Jesus, you've made me new. You have won the day. The penalty of sin doesn't stand over me anymore. And yes, the battle against the power of sin over my life, lifelong battle, but Lord, you're the one who fights it for me. We rely on Christ's power as we turn to his word and we trust in him and say, "Lord, I need your grace and your mercy. I need you to do what I can't do on my own. I need your strength." And we remember, once again, he's given us his spirit. You know, Romans 8:13 says that if by the spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. By the Spirit, we put to death the misdeeds of the Lord. It's not just human effort or our willpower alone, but we agree with God and we rely on what Jesus has done for us in going to the cross and rising again to new life, remembering that we are united to him. And we replace sin with righteousness, that we don't just not sin, but what's it going to be replaced with? We pursue holiness and righteousness. And so maybe your struggle with sin is one of lies. Talking bad about other people. What do you replace that with? Well, what's the opposite? Like, you pursue the truth. Maybe your struggle in sin is one of sexual immorality or lust. What do you replace that with? Replace it with faithfulness. You pursue satisfaction in Jesus alone. You pursue holiness. Maybe your sin is just, you're just so focused on gaining more and more for yourself. Greed, which is idolatry. What's the opposite? It's trusting that Jesus has provided enough. And so you pursue satisfaction and dependence in him, security in him. And so I hope that you can see that if the truth of what we've got before us in this first half of Colossians 3, if the truth of that were to sink more deeply into our hearts, like, can you imagine the transformation that would occur? Like, Can you see how this pushes us to joyful obedience? I hope I've done an all right job of showing that it's not a case of do all of these things and then you'll be saved and God will make you alive in Him and give you new life. Please don't hear that. This is joyful obedience because of what He's already done. He's already called you His own if you've trusted Him. He's already forgiven your sins. He's given you new life. And He's given you His Spirit to help you live this out. Now go and live for Him. Can you see how this pushes us to joyful obedience? And if the truth of what we've got here would seep more deeply into our hearts, we would just explode in Him in joyful praise and thanks. Gratitude to the God who saves and rescues, who even now His grace is available for us to forgive and to help us